Get connected.
WERE Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3 Cleveland.
Hello, Cleveland. This must be 5 o'clock in Cleveland because the issues of people in the community. We're here on the air on Monday. I know everyone missed us last week on Memorial Day weekend, but we knew y'all wasn't going to be listening, so we decided not to broadcast. But it's good to be here. We have a little change in our schedule today. We have Judge Ray Hedden's show is going to come on right now. So, Judge Hedden, we're in your hands.
Real Justice with Judge Ray Hedden. Hello there. How are you? We are going to have a special event today. We are going to be in a mode where we are going to be talking to not only a leading jurist in Cleveland and in Cuyahoga County, but also one that is in the process right now of creativity, one that is about to do some amazing things that she's about to share with us. We have today with us Joan Sinnenberg. I'm going to quickly go over Joan's bio real quick for you guys who don't know her. Judge Sinnenberg has served on the Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas on the bench for 12 years and previously presided over the Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities docket. And she's also been on the Cleveland Municipal Court for 2 years, was active trial lawyer for 16 years, and was a social worker in Cuyahoga County jails. Graduate of Cleveland Marshall College of Law, she remains active in the community and sits on numerous boards, advisory committees, and task forces. Welcome, Judge Sinnenberg.
Judge, thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
Well, this is all about making sure that what real justice is about making something happen in our community. And you've got at least two new programs you want to share with us today. So I'm just going to jump right on into it, if you don't mind. And please just share with me what you think is the first program you want to share. We've got about 20 minutes.
Thank you. Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you again, and congratulations for
joining
us on the bench. It's nice to have you as a colleague. Well, I don't know if I can call you a colleague. You're really my boss. You check the work that I do, but it's good to see you. Sounds like I'm buttering up.
Not at all.
So drug courts have been in existence for a long time, and I know that we have some other guests joining us today, and you're going to hear from Detective Bepler, who's going to talk about their end on law enforcement. Drug courts have been here since Judge Larry Jones started that back in the 90s.
The Court of Appeals.
Yes, what a great guy. My former presiding judge in Cleveland Muni, dear man, and he was a great leader in that, as far as showing us how to pioneer, follow best practices. Judge Mattia now has one of the drug courts in Cuyahoga County Common Pleas. And in a bit, we can tell you about recovery court, which is for people who have addiction disorder, but also suffering from trauma. And that's a lot of people. Trauma and addiction very frequently go hand in hand. And what we see so often is that people who get into the criminal justice system have other problems that you don't have the right to counsel for. So the Constitution for the United States of America, the Constitution for the state of Ohio, provides that any person charged with any crime that carries any kind of time from, you know, the lowest level of a misdemeanor to the highest degree of felony, you are entitled to a lawyer. If your liberty is in jeopardy, you get counsel. But if you're losing your house or your kids, you don't have any kind of constitutional right to legal representation. And I'll tell you, and you'll hear the tremendous numbers of people that are being that are involved in this epidemic right now of cocaine, heroin, fentanyl. You'll hear about it from Detective Bepler, but the numbers are staggering, and the numbers of parents who are losing their kids is staggering. You see it every day,
every
too.
Every single
right?
day, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with people on our recovery court docket, there are a lot of opioid-addicted women, and with that population, unplanned pregnancies are at an 86% rate. So this pro bono project really started because how much heartbreak can you stand seeing until you think lawyers have to step up? And there are so many caring lawyers in our community that are willing to come in once a month to my courtroom where we have created a pro bono collaborative.
That's the first of its kind in the state of Ohio, isn't it?
you know, I'm just saying because the Nord Family Foundation funded us. They said that this is the first of its kind in the country.
That's
what I've been told. But this is a partnership with other wonderful partners because it includes legal aid. For lawyers, that's important because they the work that they do can be covered under legal aid's malpractice insurance. So that's important for lawyers. But we also have the partnership of both law schools in Cleveland, Case and Cleveland Marshall. And they have been invaluable supporters. We have a number of large, medium, and small firms that make monthly commitments to send lawyers to join us. And to date, just since January, we have served 155 criminal defendants with civil issues. And it's been so well received that we're opening it beyond just the people on recovery court or drug court, but anybody who's on a criminal docket in Cuyahoga County Common Pleas with civil issues that can't afford a lawyer is welcome to contact us and register. We're doing this every month throughout the year.
What kind of cases are typically involved in the collaborative?
Well, I'd say the one that inspired it were the custody cases. So many, you know, just a showing of hands in drug court, I'll say, how many of you are parents? And it is the vast majority of people are parents. And we have a lot of women having babies and men as expectant fathers all the time. So it was really, that was the one that's the biggest heartbreaker. You got to get families back together. Addiction's a family disease. But bankruptcy, eviction, foreclosure, expungement, even the BMV. You know how many people drive that don't have a license? Well, yeah, you do, okay? So do you. A lot of people here do. Hopefully present company accepted. But we are also taking advantage of the amnesty project that's going on with the BMV now. So any non-criminal matter, we are happy to help with, but those are the most common issues. Issues with kids, finances, and housing.
And really what this goes to, and this is why you're needing to be commended for thinking out of the box, is that, you know, the totality of the person is really what we're after here. And if you're in just a criminal mode, that's just taking you one place, but really to repair a person, it takes both sides. It takes the person where they are at, where their needs are, and how they're coping with external influences. And all of these civil matters are part and parcel of bringing everybody back to totality.
Right. So holistic healing.
Yes. Exactly.
And if, you know, the people on recovery court already are dually diagnosed. So they have addiction disorder. They have sexual trauma. That's what our grant funds are. Our enrollment rate is almost 130%. That's how many people there are. But I look at our clients and the obstacles that they've overcome, and I think, how does a person stay on the right path if they don't have their kids? I don't even know how they could continue to function. Plus, most of our clients have lost every important relationship, their jobs. I mean, they really need help getting back on track, and it's more than just the addiction and the mental health services, but they also have to be able to have a place to lay their head at night, be able to have their kids in their lives, restore their families, get employed, clear their records, that kind of thing.
Judge, I'm looking at your 2019 pro bono statistics here, and the dockets that you're involved with include the drug court, mental health court, veterans court, recovery court, reentry court.
Right.
So it just covers all of our courts in Cuyahoga County and all the special dockets there are. And I'm looking at the numbers, and they're just, consistently growing. So really what this is about today is to, you know, make sure that our listeners understand that if there are issues in your families, that there is something out here in our community that's brand new. Judge Sinnenberg is here to share with you the pro bono collaborative, that which is allowing for the civil legal assistance. Just like you're able to get legal aid for criminal work, now you're able to get pro bono legal assistance for those in need. And Judge, how would you get in touch with you or someone about getting pro bono legal services?
Sure. Well, because of the Nord Family Foundation and their generosity and their desire to help people with these types of issues, we have a full-time coordinator that they have funded. His name is Mark Shannon. And he can be reached at 216-348-4027. Again, that's 216-348-4027. my bailiff may not like this, or you can call us in court. We'll help you out. But we do, we can certainly pre-register anyone that wants to pre-register, or they could email Mark Shannon at mshannon@cuyahogacounty.us. We are really happy for this opportunity because we have been able to serve people. And Nord Family Foundation, we can't thank them enough for funding this and helping make this dream a reality.
Well, it's clear that the Nord Family Foundation is looking out for our community.
For sure. We're really grateful.
And
that's why it's opened up, Judge, to other dockets, because what we saw was right off the bat, we were able to help so many people on recovery court. And we said, you know, low-hanging fruit would certainly be the other specialized dockets like drug court and the mental health docket and the veterans treatment court. And then we thought, well, there are people who have these issues that just aren't eligible for a specialized docket. And Tony Richardson, the executive director of Nord Family Foundation, said, open it up to everybody. He said, if they're in Cuyahoga County, they have these issues. That's who we want to help. So it's open to every one of the judges. So if you have a case in Cuyahoga County, you need a civil lawyer and you can't afford it, please call us. That's why this is what this project is all about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now we also are also here to talk about you know, one of your other dockets as well. I mean, I think we've got recovery court. Is it that you've been working on in addition to
yes.
all the else?
Yeah, we're in year four of recovery court. We're very grateful. Actually, not to put the cart before the horse, but we do have a graduation ceremony June 12th. Whenever someone finishes.
Well, what is recovery court?
I guess I did put the cart before the horse on that one. Oops.
Do you want to tell our listeners?
So it's a treatment-oriented docket. You know, thanks again for your hospitality here, but I do have a past in social work and as a criminal defense lawyer.
Yes.
And if we believe in the fundamental goodness of people, it takes something for someone to get into the system. And if we can figure out what that root cause is and address that, maybe we can keep them from coming back, because reducing recidivism is what everybody wants. Restoring lives is what everyone wants. So a treatment-oriented docket for people who are sick, often victimized, either through life on the streets and exchanging sex for drugs, which is very common, of course, with people on this particular docket. There's, we've learned that the way to get the best outcome is with treating both the trauma and the substance use disorder. You can't do one without the other to get success. Mm-hmm. And we have a clinically driven approach. I have a team of about 10 people, and that's one time when you come into the courtroom and everyone's on the same side. Law enforcement, mm-hmm. prosecution, defense counsel, social service agencies. Our clinicians, everyone wants to see that person get their lives together, get clean, regain the trust of their loved ones, get back to work, leading a productive life.
It is so important for, and that's really one of the purposes of this program, Real Justice with Judge Ray Hedden. As a Court of Appeals lawyer, I'm so happy to bring judges. Like Judge Joan Sinnenberg, a person I've known for years, and a person that in our community especially, she walks the walk and just doesn't talk the talk. And today is I am so pleased to have her with me, because these are programs right here that are going to save people's lives, and they're going to keep families together, and they are going to make our community better. Now, one of the things that we need to make sure about as judges in Cuyahoga County is that we have a responsibility not only to the community, but also to a higher purpose, which is our profession, to make things better. And that is what Judge Sinnenberg has been doing. I think that if you continue the way you are, you're going to come up with a program every other year. And we'll be fine. We'll solve every issue in our community. Now, what do you think is the number one thing that you'd like to share about you know, your experiences in both the pro bono collaborative so far or recovery court? For our listeners,
that people helping people is what it's all about, and that we right now are suffering a community epidemic, the words from our medical examiner, and it will take a community solution. People coming together is the most effective way to help, and we can't look at people who are suffering the disease of addiction as pariahs anymore. but we have to think in terms of destigmatizing addiction, trying to help people. And one thing, you know, sitting on the bench, Judge, you know this now, it's a ringside seat to human drama.
It is.
Coming together, though, with law enforcement, with each other, with the state. I mean, when we come together for recovery court and work as a whole, we can truly see positive change. It's not perfect. We still lose people to overdose deaths on recovery court, but we know that recidivism is reduced by 2/3, even if someone doesn't successfully complete recovery court. And we also know that lives are restored, although we still have lost people to overdose deaths. We're doing everything, and I think every one of us can do everything we can. It's not easy. Families, the family members of addicts have, you know, they throw their hands up. They've had it. They're frustrated. They are despondent. They don't, you know, they've been victimized too. So we just have to have the patience that we can possibly garner, everything that we can do to come together, deal with this community crisis as a community.
Well, one of the things that is key for any of you out there listening is a statement, at least that, you know, our judges care. And that there are people out there who are your elected officials on the bench who are listening to you and listening to our community, and not just making a judgment in the absence of being there and walking the walk and talking the talk. So I'm going to pass it back on to Pastor Phillips right now, and we're going to get ready to have a wonderful time on the next segment of the show as well.
All right, thank you, Judge Hedden, Real Justice with Judge Ray Hedden, Court of Appeals Justice, and we thank you for this programming note, and thank God for Judge Joan Sinnenberg.
Thank God for her.
I'll tell you what, and that's just a great segue, but I just want people to understand exactly what we're talking about. If you are a person that has a civil case, unlike a criminal case, you don't have a right to a lawyer. So when you are having civil issues, whether they're child support issues or your driver's license or all kind of divorce, you do not have a right to counsel for that. So for the judge to be able to have a program that will provide folks from anywhere a free lawyer, that is just fantastic. I'm so glad to know this because people call me all the time for legal advice, and I can't give any, and I don't want to. So I just call Judge Sinnenberg. There you go. So it just makes all the sense in the world.
I'm just saying all of my friends,
other pastors, other community leaders who always say, "Oh, Eric, what about this?" I'll tell you what, you have to worry about that. You can just call there are pro bono, and you have taken this on. Nobody even asked you, saw the need. That is real leadership.
Why don't we pass her some of her information on social media as well?
I was going to say, you can find, if it's okay with you, Judge, we're going to put this on the Cleveland Clergy Coalition website.
Thank you.
We'll make sure the number, and make sure you call Mark Shannon, 216-348-4027. We're going to come back with a community solution to a community crisis right back on the other side of this break. We have Rabbi Goldstein here, a pastor, one of our local pastors, and the president of the Adams Board. Is that what we call that? The president of the Adams Board. We have detectives, we have lawyers here, our judges here. We got a community problem, but we already have a community solution, and it really starts with you, Judge, as I'm sitting here thinking about it. Thank you for being here. You're listening to Issues of People in the Community. You can call us today. Larry, got a short program. We're only going until 6. 216-578-1490. 216-578-1490. Judge Hedden, you're welcome to stay if you like.
I think we will be
a part of this conversation. This is a really important conversation. So we're going to stay back. We're going to lead this conversation right back here on the other side of this break. You'll hear from us.
WERE Traffic.
Moe and Moe Jr. Tires and Auto Repair, located at 8203 Avenue. New and used tires plus auto repair, see Moe or Moe Jr. They're open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., on Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., serving Cleveland since 1995. If you need oil change, brakes, or auto repair, stop in and see Moe or Moe Jr. or call 216-231-0059. That's 216-231-0059. Moe also offers road service, and they pay the best prices for your junk cars. And for your convenience, Moe has two locations, 8202 Superior Avenue and their new location at 103 in St. Clair. And remember, if you need tires or auto repair, call Moe or Moe Jr. You'll be riding good through the neighborhood.
WERE Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at blackplanetradio.com.
Good afternoon. This traffic report sponsored by eBay. If you're in Cuyahoga, there's been an accident reported on Lee Road at Miles Road. And if you're going northbound 77, you're going to find construction has the traffic reduced to two lanes between Pershing Ave and 490. In Chagrin, going southbound 271, you're going to find some slow delays between Harvard Road and 480. And if you're headed southbound Route 8 in Hudson, there's some stop-and-go traffic causing delays between Seasons Road and Graham Road. You know when you're shopping and you find the right thing, and then you're like, wait, it's how much? But did you check eBay? And sure enough, eBay has that thing you want for the price you want. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490 WEREAM, the People Station.
Cleveland, the fly jock Tom Joyner is coming to town with the TJMS One Last Time Experience. Friday, June 7th at the Wolfstein Center. Live on stage, Maze featuring Frankie Beverly and Kem. Tickets on sale now at newstalkcleveland.com. Don't miss out.
Tea and Honey with Dr. Gwen Jarvis. I was born, raised, and educated locally. Weekly to bring tea leaves of my own experience, talents, and training as bold and boundless as a butterfly to enlighten, inspire, and uplift our community and beyond. With stems on education, health, community, civic, spiritual, and the joys of life. Thursdays, 5 p.m., WERE, 1490 a.m. Join me for tea.
At times, the path to recovery from a mental and substance use disorder may be unclear. But laying a strong foundation with the support of others makes all the difference. For information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
My name is Dr. Will Crossley, president of the Piney Woods School, the longest-serving African-American boarding school in the country. Since 1909, Piney Woods has educated children with the unshakable belief that all students can lead extraordinary lives through academic achievement and responsible citizenship. As a graduate, I was once one of those students. With nearly 100% of our graduates going on to college, you can make an impact in our students' lives and communities. Partner with us today. Go to pineywoods.org and click donate.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
All right, we're back. It's the Cleveland Clergy Coalition sponsored program, The Issues of People in the Community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips. I have the privilege to be the pastor of Sure House Baptist Church. Best place to be on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 113 18 Miles Avenue. Also, just happy to serve as the executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. And we have a lot of solutions in this studio today. As I have been thinking about this, I always, if most people already know Judge Sindenburg, how close you and I are, and Roger and your great husband, Roger Sinnenberg. I just love them. And but one of the reasons, there's many reasons, but because you bring solutions to problems. You know, I always dislike people who bring me problems and no solutions. You know, don't tell me about a problem if you don't have a solution for it, because there's a plenty of problems. Okay, so you can pick and choose, but you have answered the call to meet the needs of folks, and you've been doing this for a long time. And I think that's what I really want to stress, Judge Hedden, is that we're now talking about, I mean, the rest of us, and I should say not me, because I've always been with you, but the rest of the legal community, the elected officials, are now catching up to where you've been for a very, very long time. So this isn't a new problem, but it's a new approach, as we have more people than Judge Sinnenberg. I remember when you started Recovery Court and people were being critical about that then, that, oh, that's too liberal, we need to lock up people up. I remember those days. And it's, you know, what the hardest thing is, that I really, that's why I'm getting old now. That's what that really means. But I'll tell you, one of the things, you have a model for approaching these community problems by bringing the entire community together. I remember Larry, and Larry, I forgot to tell y'all, Larry Hagler is here. We are short on microphones, but my main man, Larry Hagler, is here today. One of the things that you have done a few years ago, you brought the clergy to be a part of Recovery Court. I've been, Judge Hedden, to more than one graduation class. So I know about that, because you engaged, you didn't wait for a crisis to come, you've already did that. So I really appreciate and respect your leadership towards these issues, because you have been meeting the issues. And I will tell you, we had a meeting, Judge Hedden, on last Thursday, because our county executive called a crisis meeting because people are using fentanyl in our community too much. And you know, not knowing about drugs these days, because I don't do drugs these days. I didn't do them. I just don't do them these days. But I would never want to take a drug that would almost kill me. And I think one of the things that we should tell folks is, if you use fentanyl, detective, that will kill you in any form soever. And what I didn't understand, I thought people were putting the fentanyl in the cocaine to stretch it, because you always are putting something in cocaine to stretch it. That's why it's so cheap and people use it and die. But we found out, because of you, you said, well, you know, they got these test strips, right, that you can use to test your drugs. And, you know, we had a lot of issues of how you're going to test your drugs. But you stood up and said, okay, yeah, these are cool and everything, you guys, but only 25% of the people are going to not use this when they find that there's no fentanyl in it. Only 25. So that really, that you should have saw all of us like, well, we need to maybe not take another approach to that. That's Judge Sinnenberg saying that. So what, you know what I figured out? If we pass test strips out, Pastor Goldstein, a person that tests the drug won't be no fentanyl in, and they'll say, man, where's my fentanyl? You know what I mean? So that is the real reality of that. And Brother Larry was at that meeting, Judge. He said, you cannot bring logic to this illogical situation, because people's best high is when they're about to die. Who does that? So, I mean, we need a whole education about, I mean, when I used to do drugs, it wasn't to die. I wasn't trying to get a feeling. I don't even want to know what it's like to be on the brink of death. I was using drugs to stay alive.
Right.
So that is a whole nother educational piece that we need the entire community, not just law enforcement, not just our judicial system, but we also need the clergy and other community leaders to be engaged. And with this particular issue, we are blessed in the Cuyahoga County to have the Adams Board, and we have a clergy member who leads the Adams Board. How great is that? And Pastor Rabbi Goldstein, Ben Goldstein, is, but we so lovingly call him Rabbi Goldstein, who's been serving on the Adams Board for years, and now he's in leadership there. And I think if there's any person to help lead this conversation, discussion, with it's Judge Sinnenberg and the Adams Board, of how do we come together to address this issue? We have a detective from the police department who is here to kind of tell us some of the things that you all are, that they're doing on the streets. So if you've got some folks who are out there using any kind of drugs, we want you to make sure you tell them fentanyl is a killer. It is no way to get high. It's a way to die. And that's what we really need to understand about that. Do not, under any circumstances, use that. You can call us today. We're only going to be until 6, 216-578-1490. Rabbi, we'll start with you. What do you think we should do to address this issue?
Well, Aaron, we need to understand how deadly fentanyl is. 5 grains of fentanyl, the size of a grain of salt, is fatal. Just 5 grains will take you out of here. So we have come up with a way of getting fentanyl test strips. The killing part of this is that not only is it in crack cocaine today, but it's in meth, it's in heroin, and now they're beginning to dust marijuana with it. Here locally, it's not a great problem, but we are finding occurrences of it. And in Canada, they're really having an epidemic. So it's coming this way, and we need to be prepared. However, we are prepared at this point to place the fentanyl testing strips in every possible facility that we can. The bathrooms, the barbershops, the bathrooms restaurants, any public facility where a person can go in and anonymously take a strip from a poster that we will have posted and test their drug to make sure that there's no fentanyl in it. That's one of the steps that we can make sure. My problem is, as a citizen and as the chairman of the board of the Adams Board, is how is fentanyl getting into our communities? That's one of the strongest problems. You know, most people that I know do not have the kinds of money to bring the large amounts of fentanyl and distribute it among. So how, you know, it's supposed to be a controlled substance. All right, that's manufactured foreignly, imported into this country. How does it get into the hands of some unscrupulous people on the streets? Since May 20th, in the greater Cleveland area, we've had 19 deaths, 17 of them taking place on the east side, and 10 of those deaths being African Americans. And so we need to get the message out. This is not a church problem. This is not a court problem. This is not a police problem. This is a community problem. And we need to pony up, if you will, all right, and get shoulder to shoulder in our communities and make sure we do some things, maybe even to chase drugs out of our community altogether.
All right, Pastor Goldstein, I'll go right to the detective with that. Pastor Goldstein is saying, how is the drugs getting here, detective? What can we do about that, if anything? What do you say about that?
It's next to impossible to actually stop.
Yeah, speak directly into the mic.
It's next to impossible to stop the total flow because it's not that hard to get them in. It's more of an education issue where you don't want this. You don't
now,
want
detective. So our audience and even myself, explain to us exactly what is fentanyl.
Well, fentanyl is a drug. It's produced in a lab, so it's not naturally occurring, and so what that means is they can produce enormous amounts of it. They can buy the tons. In China, what they were doing is they were making it, then they were shipping it over any number of ways.
Now, is it akin to heroin?
Yeah, yes, it's a relative of heroin.
It's a synthetic opioid.
Okay, so why was China making it in the first place? What was the purpose of making fentanyl? Well, did it serve any kind of productive purpose at all?
Yes, it's used in medicine. In China, what they're doing is it's like the Wild West. There's very right. few
so that was in the medicine that was used in the opiates that the drug companies are being sued by now, right? Is that correct?
I think it's one of them. It's part of it. And then with like carfentanil, it's an elephant tranquilizer. They do have legitimate uses.
Okay. All right. Because what I understand, is this right, Judge, that the fentanyl problem now in our community is the same problem that that was happening with opiates in the suburban communities. Is that correct?
Well, it's the same type of response that people have that are using it, but what happened with overprescription of painkillers like oxycodone by right. big pharmaceutical companies
right.
is that people ran out of those prescriptions. The lawsuits are because the pharmaceutical companies knew that these were highly addictive, highly deadly drugs, pushed them. Pill mills sprang up around the country
okay.
where all you have to do is really walk in and they would serve, you know, enough to make tens of thousands of dollars every day out of one pill mill. And then when someone could no longer get a prescription legitimately through a real bona fide pain problem, or if the pain clinics were closing up because the doctors were getting indicted and going to prison, then heroin is very inexpensive and it's on the street and it costs much less and you can get it very, very conveniently. It's inexpensive, it's cheap, and it's plentiful. So now with fentanyl, it is an additive that is to mimic the same types of effects, but it's synthetic, made in labs, and costs a lot less. So you get your drug dealer who can cut his product, make sure the people are completely addicted to it, they want more, and even though they're dying, go to the pathology of the brain that we can't figure out. Those are the dealers that seem to be on fire, the ones that are selling product to people that are overdosing and or dying.
Right. Now, that was what it was amazing to me at that meeting. Larry said that, too, that the drug dealer who sells the drugs to the guy who just died is going to make the most money that night.
Because people are going to,
they're looking for the guy who sold the drugs that made Brother Billy die.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous
logic.
To me.
It defies logic.
Yeah, it does. And that is what you're saying, bringing logic. But that means you got to bring education. And you can't just do education with the police. That's where the church and the community leaders come in and engage. Because we're not just talking about getting a tool to test. We're talking about, you need to understand, fentanyl will kill you. So, I don't know. Do you think that the folks who are using that drug, that they really understand that?
I think that they know that there is a risk. And certain drugs, you know, with heroin especially, I don't remember the last time that we recovered heroin that was just heroin. There's always fentanyl or carfentanil in it now. Now, cocaine and crack is a different story. I don't know, and I don't believe that everybody that uses cocaine and crack thinks that there's a risk for fentanyl being in there. With heroin, I think that, you know, they know that there's a risk, that is what it is. And so what you're having is you're having people that are using cocaine or crack, and they don't think there's going to be any fentanyl in there. And next thing you know, they have no resistance to it. They don't normally take it. And so when they get hit with it, their body can't handle it. And, you know, then
I think you told us that one hit could kill a person, one hit of fentanyl.
Yeah,
I think that's what Rabbi Goldstein was saying, that a grain of fentanyl can
five
kill
grains.
You. Five can kill you.
Yeah, so
that
you
is
a packet, you know, a salt packet. You think how many grains are in there? Just five. And so another part of the problem is when a drug dealer mixes it, he's not making this in a lab.
Right.
He's using a coffee bean grinder usually.
Right.
And so when he has
he's not a pharmacist.
Yes. And he sprinkles the fentanyl or the carfentanil in there. It's not mixed thoroughly, and so you'll have part of it will have more grains in it than another part. And so when you know if you get like a rock and you break it up into five different pieces and then you smoke it, part of that rock may be fine, but then another part of that rock will kill you or kill the person next to you that's smoking it.
Wow. I think that's a really scary point because. And Dr. Goldstein started by saying, "This is in everything now. Do you know, we've been focusing on the opioids. If this goes into other drugs, I mean, in our court system, it seems to be that people who have test positive for marijuana may not use anything else ever. They may be completely compliant on probation. When I hear that this drug is going into everything, I mean, this could kill scores of people. And to your point." Pastor Phillips, do you think that people who are out there, I mean, is it that they don't care if they live or die? Are they just giant risk takers that knowing what's out there right now, that it could kill you? I don't know. Are we starting too late on the education track, or do we need to start when kids are little kids? Because,
yeah, right,
you know, the
that.
People that the detective is arresting may have gone to the hospital 10 or 20 times in the past with overdoses, so the fear factor's kind of gone.
Wow. And we need to talk about, we got to take a break. We got to pay these bills. But I want to talk about some of the solutions about with the the devices, the Narcan, those supplements that we can provide for people if they're overdosing. But we really, I know for me, and I'm telling our congregation, if you got family members that are out there and you know they're using, tell them just, for one thing, stay away from fentanyl. There's no such thing as taking fentanyl safely. That doesn't
exist. Tell them to stay away from drugs,
yeah,
period.
No drugs are safe.
Maybe the medical examiner will tell you it's in everything. Mm-hmm.
It's in everything. All right, we're coming back. The people, the issues, and the community. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. We're only going till 6, so Larry, get ready. We got to do the Black History Moment. We can't get out here without that. And we thank y'all for being here. You'll hear from us on the other side. This may be our last break.
Here's my shoulder.
T90 WERE traffic.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time of experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
This is Reverend Al Sharpton. Join the National Action Network, not because of what we have done, because we have done much, but because of what we are still doing. We need action around voting rights. We need action around health care. We need action around dealing with the injustice in the criminal justice system. Be a member of the Action Network that's out now fighting for you. Call 1-877-626-4651. Or go online to www.nationalactionnetwork.net and become a part of the action.
Alex Scott was a 4-year-old cancer patient who decided to help find a cure for kids with a front yard lemonade stand. Join Firebird's Wood-Fired Grill for Lemonade Days June 7th through 9th to donate to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation.
Mo and Mo Jr. Tires and Auto Repair. Located at 8202 Superior Avenue. For the best deals in new and used tires plus auto repair, see Mo or Mo Jr. They're open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., on Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Serving Cleveland since 1995. If you need oil change, brakes, or auto repair, stop in and see Mo or Mo Jr. Or call 216-231-0059. That's 216-231-0059. Mo also offers road service and they pay the best prices for your junk cars. And for your convenience, Mo has two locations, 8202 Superior Avenue and their new location at 103 in St. Clair. And remember, if you need tires or auto repair, call Mo or Mo Jr. You'll be riding good through the neighborhood.
1490 WERE traffic.
Good afternoon. This traffic update sponsored by eBay. In Cleveland, if you're going southbound 71, you'll find some heavy traffic delays between 480 and Bagley Road. In Cuyahoga, more heavy traffic if you're going Interbell southbound between West 25th Street and West Boulevard. Also in Cuyahoga, there's been an accident reported on Lee Road at Miles Road. And if you're headed southbound 77, another crash at Waterloo Road. You know when you're shopping and you find the right thing and you're like, wait, it's how much? But did you check eBay? And sure enough, eBay has the thing you want for the price you want. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490 WERE AM, the People Station.
WERE Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3, Cleveland.
These ribs are smacking. Thanks, Uncle Earl, for the invite. You know I love me some good barbecue.
Oh, boy, get your hands off them bones. I didn't invite you here to eat up all my food. You need to start listening to me when I'm telling you about stepping up your game with your car.
I know, You keep telling me about North Coast Auto Mall and how they can help me. I just don't think you understand my situation.
Oh, boy, I seen that piece of junk you got in my driveway right there. It's pitiful, but I've also seen what North Coast Auto Mall can do for any situation. They smooth, just like my barbecue sauce. And you can go there and get you a ride for as little as 99 cents down. I'm talking about a fast little sports car, a SUV, sedans, or a truck. Just call 1-800-NEXT-CAR.
99 cents? Yeah, I can do that. As long as it's legit, I can work with.
Now, boy, would your Uncle Earl lie to you? See for yourself. North Coast Auto Mall has three locations. In Palmer, Akron, and on the Bedford Auto Mile. Or call 1-800-NEXT-CAR. Now do as your Uncle Earl tell you, and you'll be smooth sailing. And I might let you have some of this barbecue.
99 cents down. For example, amount finance equals 9,000. APR rate 24.9. 48 monthly payments of $297.91 upon approved credit.
All right, we're back to issues of people in the community. I'm Pastor Aaron Phillips. We're going to get right to it because our time is short. But I do want to remind everyone, if you need a civil lawyer, not a criminal lawyer, a civil lawyer, you need to call 216-348-4027. Ask for Mark Shannon, and there's the next civil pro bono. That's a free, that means free. Free civil lawyers is June 21st, and then the one after that is June 19th. You got to call to register. You know, I got some civil problems. I'm going to have them call and fix up because I can't afford an attorney anymore. I'm just kidding. But I tell you, it is very important. That is one of the most important things. We're going to get this out to all of our clergy members. Tomorrow is Clergy Day, by the way. We'll be at United Pastors Mission at 10 o'clock, Baptist Ministers Conference at 1 o'clock, and then we'll be at the Pastors Council on Wednesday at 1 o'clock.
Aaron, before
hold
you
on
go
one to- moment. Hold on, sir. Let me finish. And then we also have on, I want to make sure we know, the United Pastors meet at Oakwood Village Church at the time, threw me off, Rabbi Mount Zion Oakwood Church, who our president there is Bishop Larry Macon, and also the Baptist Ministers Conference meets at First Zion on 105 and Garfield, the president, President Leonard T. King. So we thank God for it. We got a full house here today, and I want to acknowledge the fact that we have Judge Ray Hedden's sons are here. Very two handsome young men, and going to university school. Thank you for bringing your sons here, Judge Hedden, and you're doing a great job on the bench. And we are privileged to have Detective and Judge Sinnenberg and Attorney Roger Sinnenberg, Larry, and Rabbi Goldstein, Pastor Rabbi Goldstein, the chairman of the board of the Adams Board. Go ahead, Rabbi. What you
just two things very quickly. If you know someone or if you're someone who's having an addiction disorder, then call area code 216-623-6888. And then also for those people in the community who are really interested, carrying naloxone on them, there are sites where you can pick it up free. One is the Cleveland EMS headquarters, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Thomas McCafferty Health Center, Monday and Wednesdays from 8 a.m. to 4:30. And the Cuyahoga Board of Health, Fridays, 9 a.m. to noon. And the Circle Health Services, Tuesdays, noon to 4, and Wednesdays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. So you can have kits with you so that if you encounter someone in an overdose, you can.
But let me, but let's explain to folks what those kits are, because I don't think we have done a good job of that. Let's, because there are kits that can save people who are overdosing.
Yes.
On fentanyl. Yep. So that's what you're talking about. So we need to explain that to folks. So we know, and listeners, we know we're not talking to the people who use fentanyl, but we know you may know somebody, I know. Absolutely. I do, who do use it. So these are important tools. Yes. That you need to have. And there is a tool out there, that's what Pastor Goldstein. Right. Is telling us about, that you can get a free tool. It's almost akin to Narcan with people who are using it. Is it called Narcan? Or it's the same. It's in the same family. And that's what the police, law enforcement, use this tool. Well, a person, if they see him right on the streets that are overdosing, you can give them a shot of that, and it can get them out of the overdose.
And there's no liability with administering it.
There's
a good Samaritan law in the state of Ohio where if you administer to someone, you'll not be held accountable.
Yeah, and let me explain to folks, the Cleveland Clergy Coalition is interested in saving people's lives. There's no way that we are condoning drug use, but we don't want people to be dying. And I think that that is very important. And what we're doing here today is getting information out so people won't die. And when you have those numbers in 2 weeks, you have 30 people who are dying by just because they're using fentanyl. That is important for us to get that information out. That fentanyl is no good. And these kits that you can pick up, you can use that just in case, or give them to folks that you know are using drugs. If something, for whatever reason, they are using these things, they can take that as an antidote so they won't die. We don't want you to die using fentanyl. Man, we don't want you to die, period, under using drugs. Using drugs is horrible. But, you know, we're not Nancy Reagan. Just say no isn't enough. You got to have a plan to why and how can people say no? What can people do differently? One of the things I can't stress enough, Judge, that this problem has to be addressed as a community, like many of our problems that we're having, such as the mental health issue crisis that we're having. We need those same partners to be in the same room to address, because when you're talking about the drug problem, you're actually addressing mental health issues as well. Isn't that right?
They go hand in hand. But you know, with other diseases, people feel comfortable reaching out for help. When someone has an issue with drugs or alcohol, they feel embarrassed or ashamed. And so if we could destigmatize, and any one of us, if we know somebody who could use some help, you know, open up our arms and say, look, you know, we're not judging you for it. And this is coming from, you know, Judge Hedden and Judge Joan. We're saying this as judges. We're not trying to judge people. We're trying to help people.
That's right.
And if someone has got a disease like diabetes or cancer, or got a horrible diagnosis, people gather around, you bake a casserole and take it over and visit and send a card.
Right.
But that doesn't happen with addiction. People have been ostracized. That's changing. I think it's been slow, but there is a change. And I think we need to destigmatize this disease. God bless you. We need to destigmatize and do everything we can to respond with treatment, because we know, and Dr. Goldstein can tell you this with the long history and legacy of the Adams Board, the treatment works.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, I'm so glad you said that, because one of the things that at the meeting, Detective, you said that the police they're not trying to arrest everybody. And no, can you kind of speak to that?
No. Our main goal
directly to the mic.
Our main goal is to stop people from using. And we don't want to see people die. That's the last thing that we want to see. So, for instance, when we respond to an overdose where someone lives, the first thing that we want to do is we want to get the medical help. So the Narcan, the Project Dawn kits, get them. If you're a family member and you have someone that uses, get the Project Dawn kits. They're free. They've saved several thousand lives. So have that ready. And even if you use the Narcan, though, you have to remember you should probably go to a hospital.
And okay.
And the reason for it is the Narcan may work short term on the fentanyl in your system, but let's say that there's a lot of fentanyl in there, the Narcan will wear off, and then the fentanyl will come back, and then you'll OD again. So you need to go to a hospital and get treated that way.
Well, Sam, I'm glad you said that. Judge Hedden, you want to add anything? Thank you for being a part of this
absolutely.
Conversation.
Absolutely. It's all about the families, because as we said already, the individuals who are already addicted are not going to be listening. So what we're trying to do right now is to reach directly to those families that are in need. They should call the numbers.
Area code 216.
Absolutely.
623-6888.
Absolutely.
Great, great. Thank you, Judge Hedden. Thank you, Judge Joan Sinnenberg. You do such great work. I want to come and just observe one of the civil attorneys that pro bono work. God bless you for all of your leadership, your innovation, your creativity, and what you bring to the court. You are always a breath of fresh air to the justice system. I would tell you what, our court could use some more Judge Heddens and Judge Sinnenbergs on them. I can tell you that. And I thank God for you all both being here. We want to address this issue in a serious, systematic way. And until we do that, as a team of people, this will not work. But we need the elected officials, the judges, and the county executives, and the police, law enforcement, and you got to have the clergy. All right, so we got to close this program. It's so good. I'm sorry that we couldn't get any callers today, but come on, Brother Larry. Brother Larry's going to come. Come on, I'm going to use my mic. It's coming every week, Brother Roger Sinnenberg. We have a Black History moment. We don't wait for February. Every Monday is Black History. So give us our Black History moment, and then we have Stacy Polk on the line with Kingdom Information and Community News.
Oh, all right. We have John Brown, born May 9, 1800, died December 2, 1859. John Brown was born in Torrington, Connecticut, but spent most of his youth in Ohio. Parents instilled strong biblical beliefs and a hatred for slavery. He became a foreman in his family's businesses and had hopes of being a minister. Wed in 1820 to Diane Lusk, who bore seven children before passing in 1831, married 16-year-old Mary Ann Day, who bore 13 more children. Although he owned several businesses, he always thought more about oppressed people. He became a conductor in the Underground Railroad and organized a self-protection league for free men of color and fugitive slaves. By the time he was 50 years old, he was convinced God had selected him as champion to lead slaves to freedom, and that if force was required, well, that was God's will as well. Moved to Kansas with five of his sons, after the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854, which gave citizens the right to decide whether to prohibit or prevent slavery. May 21, 1856, border ruffians attacked anti-slavery town of Lawrence, Missouri, pillaging and burning. May 24, 1856, with four of his sons and 20 other men, Brown rode to the homes of three pro-slavery settlers and drug them from their homes and killed them. The events of Lawrence and Potawatomi, Kansas, caused the territory to erupt in guerrilla warfare, giving it the name Bleeding Kansas. Brown's name became known to the nation, a Christian warrior to those who opposed slavery, and a demented murderer to others. October 16, 1859, Brown led 21 followers, five blacks, 16 whites, including two of his sons, on a raid to seize the U.S. arsenal at Harper's Ferry, Virginia. They captured a number of prisoners, including George Washington's great-grandnephew, Louis Washington. Local militia trapped Brown and his men at the arsenal's firehouse. Three citizens were killed, including Mayor Fontaine Beckham.
All right. That's John Brown. I'll be John Brown. All right. That's very good. Thank you, Brother Larry. All right. Stacy, are you there? Give us our community news and kingdom information. Go, Stacy.
Absolutely. Well, we are all about building a life that you don't have to try to escape from, but that you want to build more to. And that includes our financial fitness seminar tomorrow, 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Glenville Recreation Center at East 113th Street and St. Clair Avenue, with parking coming in off of Lakeview Road in St. Clair. After that, we have our first Wade Over Wednesday, which will be June the 5th from 6 to 9 p.m. That's free, over in Wade Oval, over by the Art Museum and the Museum of Natural History and University Circle. All are welcome. It's a great family affair, fun for everyone. I look forward to seeing the Hedden family there. I know that I bumped into Judge Joan a time or five. Always had a good time.
All right.
And well, we've got Parade the Circle coming up on Saturday. That is this Saturday, and the theme is the mythology of illusion. And come on out and see the various groups that parade and the costumes that are built and meet all sorts of people. And that is in Wade Oval also. Lots of fun, again, family friendly.
All right.
We've got Father's Day coming up. So to the theme of today, we want to do what we can to hold our families intact. For those who are struggling with addiction out there, please remember that you mean something to somebody. You're someone's son or daughter or mother or uncle or sibling. So let's praise and support our fathers by being as healthy as we can in their support and memory. We also, and I know that your sidekick is going to lay this one out, and that is going to be Juneteenth. We've got Juneteenth coming up, but I will leave him all of his thunder. I just wanted to say that at the beginning of the month so that we can look forward
right, Juneteenth
to
is coming, and we've got an event coming up to celebrate Reverend Kavanaugh's being in the Historical Art Museum again. We'll announce that next week as well. We got to go. We're short on time. Thank you, Stacy Polk. Thank you for all of our guests being here. We'll be back next week for an entire hour and a half. We're not having any hot sauce today, but we'll be back next Monday at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6:30. God bless you. Love you, Cleveland. Have a great week.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. WERE Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3 Cleveland.